You are listening to the SCC Cast, weekly teaching and preaching from Springview Community Church. Find us on the web at www.springviewcc.org. We are located at 12881 Andersonville Road in Davisburg, Michigan. We welcome you to come as you are to experience a friendly worship setting with biblical preaching, teaching, and application. Now, here's our guest speaker.
Good morning. Great to see you this morning, and I'm seeing a pattern. Your pastor calls me and asks me to come on the first Sunday in January. That'd be New Year's Sunday. And then he calls me and wants me to come on Labor Day weekend. I'm seeing a pattern. If you didn't get a handout, I'd encourage you to have one. We've got a few extra. Raise your hand. We'll get one to you. They'll be helpful. Yes, they're in the back. Whoever wants to run those back there and a few others, that'd be great. And I'm looking for a volunteer this morning. I need a volunteer who is semi-artistic. Semi-artistic. Do I have a volunteer? A volunteer. Semi-artistic. Who's really? Yes. Oh, come right here, please. Please. I'm gonna ask her to draw something, and then we'll see if you all can figure out what it is. Ponder this. I don't want you to, jump to any conclusions. I want you to ponder this. And this is 30 seconds or less, Colleen. You're too artistic. The United States. Yeah. I said don't blurt it out. You want to watch and make sure.
He's been married to me 40 years.
This is not Pictionary. This is important. I'm going to share with you by way of introduction this morning an illustration that I would encourage all of you to write on the back of your handout. And if you want to duplicate this drawing to the best of your ability, that will help you. On the back of your handout. Now, this is a very complex introduction. But if you'll stick with me, you will find this very relevant and useful. It's quite complex, but stick with me, okay? Because I have confidence in you. Yes, yes. Wow. How many of you think you know what this is? That's better than I could do. Trust me. Trust me. Okay, this is a conversation I've had with each of my children multiple times. I don't recommend it for children below the age of 6 months. But somewhere over the age of about 12 to 14, you're going to find this really complex, but really relevant, okay? So several years ago, my son was probably 15-ish, and I sat down with him one day, and I said, "Sonny, I need to ask you a question. Please write this down on your handout, a simple question, simple question." I said, "Son, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go?" And so I drew this map, and I said, where would you like to go someday? Where would you like to go? And if I asked you today, where would you like to go, a destination? Give me at least three viable options of places you might like to go. Don't say Detroit. within the Greece is outside. Colleen, your drawing was fine. It's not your fault. Grand Canyon. I like that option. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Yes, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. Give me a second option. Tennessee. I'll put that right about there. And a third one, try for the East Coast, if you would. East Coast, please. Boston. Very good. We'll put Boston here. So let's suppose I'm talking to my son. And he says, well, yeah, I would like to go to the Grand Canyon. Okay? So a couple years later, he's able to drive, and he gets in the car, and he tells me he wants to go to the Grand Canyon. So he starts off, and after a couple days, I call him. And I say, Sonny, how's your trip going? He's great. Great. I said, whereabouts are you? He said, I'm on I-75, almost to Cincinnati. He's not in a hurry. Almost to Cincinnati. How's he doing? Now, I'm wise enough to say to my son, Sonny, we got an issue here. We got an issue. He says, really? I said, yeah, we got a big issue. I said, at the rate you're going, you are not going to get to the Grand Canyon. What? No, I want to go to the Grand Canyon. Now, as a parent and as someone who's mature, I have a couple different options here. One of my options is I can say, Sonny, you've made an error in judgment, and you are heading towards Florida. You are not going to get to the Grand Canyon ever in the direction you're going. You with me? This is complex. The other option is this. You didn't really want to go to the Grand Canyon. You know exactly where you're going. You didn't tell me the truth. Now, as a parent, this is a very important illustration. For you as an individual, this is a very important illustration. Now, it's complex, but let me ask you, how many of you understand that my son is either misguided and doesn't know he's going in the wrong direction, or my son hasn't told me the truth? How many of you understand that? Okay, I told you it was complex. Now, here's the deal. Everybody I share this with, in terms of geography, they get it. The key here is when we translate it to other areas of life. Because my son has made a choice. Right? He's made a choice. But he's either going in the wrong direction unknowingly, or he didn't tell me the truth, which is also a choice. Now, let me take this into some other facets of life and see if you can translate over. Okay? So my son is 14-ish. And he says to me one day, he says, I want to play on the golf team. Good for you, Sonny. Good for you. Summer's coming up. Tryouts are in the fall. Good for you. Good for you. I want to help you all I can. I say, by the way, you know, the course just down the road here, they've got a summer option for students, where you pay and then you can play and there's maybe some lessons involved. And I said, how about we sign you up? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I said, well, you know, I could, a couple days of the week, I could drop you off at the golf course and you could go, I don't want to practice. I don't want to practice. You see how this is the same thing? There's one of two options here. Either he's erroneous in his thinking that he's going to learn to play golf well enough to make the golf team by going in the wrong direction, not doing the right things, or he doesn't really want to be on the golf team. Not really. You with me? So we say to a student, well, What would you like to do in your future? Oh, I'd like to be a doctor. Oh, awesome, awesome. And got chemistry in high school. Well, if you really wanted to be a doctor, what would you do with chemistry in high school? Biology, what would you do? You know that there's a correlation between grades and med school. You're aware of that? Hopefully there's a correlation between doctors and intelligence. Hope, right? I don't want to study. Wait a minute. You don't want to study. You want to be a doctor. Right. Wait, something's not clicking here. Or we sit down with our college students and say, well, where would you like to go? Well, you know, someday I'd like to be married, and I said, what kind of person would you like to be married to? I'd like to be married to this qualities, right? And then I see their activities on the weekend and the places they frequent. And there's a phrase, you may have heard it, goes like this: you can't get there from here. If you want this kind of a person to marry someday, there's certain things you need to do to get there, okay? Where do you want to go? I'm going to talk about this later, but I often encourage pastors to ask this question: where do you want to go? Whether you have 10 people in your church or 1,000, where do you want to go? What do you want to accomplish? Because we all have to make choices. The key is, are you cognizant of the choices you're making, and are you moving in the direction that will get you there, or is it that you don't really want to go there? Matthew 5 through 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. You're familiar with it. Turn to Matthew 7. It's the longest recorded sermon Jesus gave, and it's overwhelmingly challenging as he confronts the religious thinking of his day by exposing them to something radically different. And at the end of this sermon, Jesus concludes with three illustrations that all involve choices. Pick it up, let me read with you, beginning in verse 13. Jesus speaking says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Verse 15, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Because not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' just because you say you're going in, just because you say something doesn't make it true. They'll say, 'Lord, Lord.' And he'll say, 'What? I didn't.' Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Verse 24, therefore, bringing it to conclusion, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, And yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as teachers of the law. Father, we pray this morning that we would view your words as having authority and clearly not my words. Help us to have ears to hear, minds and hearts to understand. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus concludes this lengthy message with three illustrations. Three illustrations. Turn your handout over if you haven't already, and let me give you a taste for these three illustrations that are very simple, but very profound. The first one is an illustration of two gates. I won't ask anyone to draw gates this morning, but what's the purpose of a gate? Well, you know, if you've been to Israel and you've seen the walls around the city, you know that those walls are not paper thin. They could drive chariots on top of those walls. And somewhere in the wall, there was a gate. What's the purpose of the gate? Well, the gate is to allow people to come and go. To come and go. Jesus said, there's two gates. One is narrow, one is wide. One is narrow, one is wide. What is this? What is Jesus talking about? A gate to? What is the gate to? Well, it's interesting. He says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but there's another gate that leads to life on a scale of 1 to 10. How critical is the destination on a scale of 1 to 10? You'd say 10. I'd say 12. Do you know what Jesus is talking about here? What this is a gate to? Well, obviously, one is a gate to life. Surely he's not talking about biological life. He's not talking about being physically born. Because he's talking to people who are already here. A gate to what kind of life? Turn back to Matthew chapter 5, just a couple pages back. Matthew 5, let's see, I think I want verse 20. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter what? The kingdom. The kingdom. He's talking about life. Now, you people are well taught, I know. I know. I listen to a lot of your Sundays. You people are well taught. You know the gate to life, right? What is the gate to life? Jesus is the gate to life. He spent this whole sermon saying, here's what many profess as to how to be righteous. That won't get you righteousness. Here's the only way to being righteous. Jesus is the only way, the only door, the only gate. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No, you can't have righteousness apart from Jesus. So we have two gates, one wide, one narrow. Why do most people take the wide gate? He said, it's easy. Just follow along. There's another gate, and it's very narrow. It's very restrictive. And few are willing to say, I want to go through that gate. Because if you say you want to go somewhere, but you don't practice the things or do the things to get you there, either you're erroneous in your thinking or you don't really want to go there. You're not telling the truth. So we have the purpose and we have the results. Results, which are very serious. Now here's a question though I want to ask you. How much control do you and I have over the gate? None. You didn't make the gate. You didn't make the dimensions for the gate. You don't get to make the criteria for going through the gate. You have no control over the gate. None. Your only option is to choose which gate and comply with the requirements. Got it? You with me? How many gates? Two. Let's look at a second illustration. Starting in verse 15. Now instead of gates, how many gates? Two. Now we have two of something else. What are they? Trees. Are trees common in the Middle East? How many of you have been in the Middle East? Been to the Middle East? Are trees like big, huge forests in the Middle East? You've been to Israel? A lot of Israel in the Middle East is what? Desert. So trees are fairly significant. Two trees. What's the purpose of a tree? As Jesus gives us illustration, what's the purpose of those trees? To bear fruit. To bear fruit. And Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Why would he say that? Because there are many who are advocating this way of life, which will take you to what gate? The wide gate, and they're not telling you the truth. They're false prophets. Well, how can you discern a false prophet from a true prophet? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly that's not who they are. Verse 16, by their fruit. This is fascinating to me. This is a law of nature. If you have an apple tree, what kind of fruit do you think you're going to see on an apple tree?
Apple.
Apple, very good. How do you know what kind of a tree it is? By seeing the apple. Please write this down. There's a phrase in Genesis chapter 1 that's repeated multiple times. That in the record of creation, it says this many times. And they reproduce according to its kind. That's a law of nature. Apple trees bear apples. That's how you know it's an apple tree. An apple tree left to its own will never, never, ever produce grapes. Why? Because it's an apple tree. It's an apple tree. All right, we got two kinds of trees. Verse 18. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Why not? Because its nature is good. By the way, we're all born into this world with what kind of a nature? What do sinful people do? We, write this down, we must act to some degree in harmony with our nature. Jesus illustrates a law of nature. Trees produce fruit according to their nature. Now, how serious is this? Okay, you have a tree and it doesn't bear any fruit. What do you do with that tree? The results, what happens to that tree? You don't need that tree. You don't want that tree. You get rid of that tree. It's not fulfilling its purpose. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and it's burned. Conclusion, look for the fruit. By the way, how much control do we have over the gates? How much control do we have over trees? You can't create a tree. You can't determine the nature of a tree, can you? You can't say, this tree, I want this tree to produce. You don't have that. But you can cut down that tree, right? Huh. Illustration number three. To what? Two houses or two foundations. Verse 24, therefore. By the way, what's the purpose of a house? I'm to live in. How many people live in houses? Two foundations. What's the purpose of a foundation? Support the house. Safety. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. How do you know he's wise? How would you know if he's unwise? Two trees. How do you know a wise tree from an unwise, right? Look at what they do. Verse 25, trouble comes. And unless you've deliberately decided not to pay attention to news recently, there's been some troubles in our country of late. Flooding, fire, storms, right? And you know this. Eventually in your life and mine, storms will come. Right? I mean, physically, your house is going to be hit by a storm sooner or later. It's not if that's going to happen. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Some of you may be old enough to remember. The wise man built his house upon. Why do you think we teach that song? Because the foundation is the key. Now, you can tell me you want to build a strong foundation, but if you go constructing on top of a sand pile, guess what? You can't get there from here. That's not going to work. The problem is, when will you find out that's not going to work? It's interesting. I share this with my children as they were maturing. If you're ever going on a trip and you're not sure if you made the right turn or you're going in the right direction, the sooner you stop and figure that out, the less distance you have to travel back. I recommend that in airports. Make double sure you're going in the right direction at a major airport, because if you get on the train or whatever and you get out to that concourse and then you got to go way back. If I said I wanted to go to the Grand Canyon, when would be a good time to figure out I'm going east instead of west? Long before I hit Boston. Right? This is a law, also of nature, if you will, or a law of physics, that the rain came and the house that was on a solid foundation stood. But the house that's built on sand, now what do you think rock and sand stands for? Oh, it's the rock. You want to build your life on righteousness based on your goodness and your deeds? It's not going to work. If you build your life on the rock, when the storms come, you will be safe and secure. How much, in terms of results, how serious is this illustration? What's at stake? Your life is at stake. Your dwelling is at stake. How much control do I have over the foundation? Can I create rocks? Jesus isn't talking about a rock, right? He's talking about building a house, and let's even say it's a smallish house by our standards of 500 square feet. To build that on rock, right? We used to live in Victoria, British Columbia, and they don't do basements there. You know why? Because it's rocky. You have to blast with dynamite to get the rock out of there. It's rock. You don't control rocks. You can't create them. You can only what? Find them. You can only find them. No one can establish a foundation for you. You must do it yourself. By the way, foundations aren't always visible, are they? I can't look and say, oh, you have a good foundation. No. I can evaluate a tree by its fruit, not by its root system. But if the tree is producing fruit, I know the root system's working. So in our discussions over some period of time, your pastor tells me we want to do a discipleship plan. Because I ask this profound question a lot. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Well, if you're going to have a discipleship plan, you need to build it on a foundation. That's why in a few weeks, I want to teach a series on foundations. There will be some things in the series that you'll say, oh, I know that. And there'll be other things that's like, nobody ever showed me that. If you're unsure at all, if you're wanting to help people who don't know Christ, if you want to ensure the stability and the security of your own foundation, it's for you. This will be a bedrock to build on. Now, what happens if you build on a foundation that isn't solid? Oh, then you are what we call vulnerable. And when would you like to know your foundation is vulnerable? As I've worked with engaged couples. When would you like to know he's not really fully committed? When would you like to know that, sweetheart? Would you like to know it now or in 5 years? Oh, I'd like to know it before. If you have friends, maybe they don't go to church at all, but they're interested in spiritual things, first night will be an introduction, and I will lay out, here's where we're going. Got it? Here's where we're going. Do you want to go there? If you want to go there, come on. And then I will trust those involved to come. They won't have to be incentivized. I won't call them during the week. Say, remember now, Wednesday night. Don't forget. No. Because if you're interested, you'll come. And if people aren't interested, it's good. Come once. Find out where we're going. And then you can decide. You can decide. Three illustrations. Got it? How many gates? Two. How much control you got over those gates? None. Two trees. How much control you got over a tree? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Because if it's not bearing fruit, you can deal with it. Right? Two foundations. How much control you got over that? Maybe I can make some choices to make sure I have a solid foundation. Because what's at stake is of eternal significance. Narrow is the gate, Jesus. Good trees bear good fruit, Jesus. Build your foundation on the rock, Jesus. What a fitting conclusion to a very challenging and demanding teaching on righteousness only through Christ. Verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were what? They were dumbfounded, amazed. Why? Because those who are advocating the wide gate would say, well, Rabbi so-and-so says this. Rabbi so-and-so teaches this. We follow Rabbi so-and-so and he advocates this. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the key to life. Follow me. I want to encourage you to give thoughtful and ardent time to consider. You want to come check out the foundations class? Now, here's my dilemma. Just a few minutes ago, we asked for Awana volunteers. You can't do both. Okay? You can't do both. And I do not want to be the one to tell you that my class is more important than volunteering or being involved in Awana. I love you and I love Awana. And I love Awana leaders and volunteers. Okay? But let me assure you, if you have any questions about your foundation, you will be much better in 6 months with a foundation helping others than not. That I can guarantee you. So don't shoot the messenger here, because I'm for Awana. Okay? Two gates. Two trees, two foundations. All the listeners had choices to make. I commend you to make choices. Where do you want to go? Father, we thank you this morning that you created us in your image and gave us freedom to make decisions. We recognize that all of us have made decisions at some point, to some extent, that we're not wise. We're not helpful. We're not healthy. Thank you for confronting us with these three simple illustrations as you concluded this powerful and challenging sermon on the way of life. The way of life. Help us to take heed and to put the things into practice that you revealed to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.